mother like a ship. Mother like a ship. Our theme text this morning comes from Proverbs 31:14, which says, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Someone has said, a mother is a person who, seeing only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people, promptly announces that she is full and does not want any dessert. Someone has said that mother is the name for God on the lips and the hearts of little children. Someone has said a mother understands what a child does not say. Someone has said, mother is a bank where we deposit all of our hurts and our worries. Someone has said that the father is the head of the house, but the mother is the heart of the house. When we think of mothers, there are many descriptors that we could use. And in this computer-aided generation, when one does a search on the Bible for the phrase, she is like, only one verse is found. And that's in Proverbs 31:14. In Proverbs 31, we find the well-known description of a virtuous woman who is a wife and a mother. And in verse 14, Solomon refers to this woman as being like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. Now, of all the endearing terms that we might come up with in trying to describe motherhood, being a merchant ship or being like a merchant ship is not one that comes to my mind. And so the comparison of a mother to a ship seems rather crude and not one that we would normally associate with mothers. So we wonder, what did Solomon have in mind when he said that she is like a merchant ship? What was he thinking when he compared a mother, a wife, to a merchant ship? Let's see this morning if we can get inside Solomon's head and see if we can understand what he thought about the attributes of motherhood when he compares them to a ship. Well, first of all, merchant ships must have a pilot, In like manner, a true Christian mother has Jesus Christ as the pilot of her heart and home. I learned at a very early age that Jesus piloted my mother's heart and her home. When I think of my children, one of the distinct images that I have is regularly walking into my mother's bedroom late at night and seeing her kneel beside her bed in prayer. I understood at an early age that her life, her hopes, her confidence was not just in my father's ability to provide, but also she had a hope and a comfort and a confidence in a higher power. I learned from her example that the discipline of regular prayer, even though sometimes I did not understand whether it was working or not, was something that I needed to do. Someone wrote, a godly mother will point her children to God by her example as much as by her words. To train up children effectively in the way that they should go, God has told us in Proverbs 22:6. That if we will train, if we will be models, if we build example, that even when children go up, they may stray for a while, but they will come back. Mothers, you must have God as your pilot. as the guide of your heart, as the guide of your home. You must have a godly destination for all of those who live within your walls and the lives of those over whom God has given you charge. Yes, merchant ships must have a pilot, and a godly mother must have Jesus Christ as the pilot of her life. Amen. Well, secondly, merchant ships are guided by a compass and a north star. In like manner, true Christian mothers guide their lives and their homes by the Word of God. There are possibly more parenting books than one could read in a lifetime. And they have varying opinions as to how we ought to do it. Some say spank. Some say don't. Some say give your child this. Some say don't. Some say do these things. Others says don't do these things. Where is a mother to find a model, a true model for raising children? Nowhere else, I propose, than in the Bible, the original book for the raising of children, for their guidance, for guidance for the home. The Bible clearly calls for discipline. Proverbs 13:24 declares that he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him will discipline him promptly. Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not hold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. I'm still here. I can declare that works. There is a place for discipline. There's a place for spanking. And there's a way and a means by which it should be done. The Bible declares of Jesus that he was full of truth and grace. That means he had a deep respect for the law, a deep respect for the command of God. He believed that we ought to walk in obedience to the Word of God. But yet he had this overall arching concern that people would experience the love and the grace of God. We must be careful in the exercise of discipline that, yes, we do it, but we must also do it lovingly. We must not do it with antagonism. We must not do it in terms of being abusive. But we need to do it as lovingly as we can. Now, sometimes that's a little hard to understand, because my father used to say, you know, I'm going to give you a whooping, and it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I know that in his heart he was saying that as lovingly as he could, but the pain of that, I still felt. Amen. The mother who has real concern for the welfare of a child will study the Bible and lovingly apply its precepts to her life and the lives of those in her household. Mothers, guiding your lives and your homes by the Word of God does not mean that you have to have an advanced education. My mother, bless her heart, had no college degree. She had a high school diploma from one of those little one-room country schools where they had everything from kindergarten to 12th grade, if there was such a thing, all in the same place. But she had the wisdom of God. She didn't know anything about computers. She didn't know anything about internet. She did not have a phone to have a smartphone. But yet she had godly wisdom. I was not, And I know y'all will find this hard to believe, but I was not the best child. But I always respected what my mother had to say because I knew it was the best thing for me. How did I know that? Young people, I knew that this way. How can someone carry you for 9 months, go through the pain of giving you birth, feed you, wash you, bathe you, clothe you, nurture you when you are sick and afflicted, and not want the best for you? I knew my mother wanted the best for me. Young people, recognize that your parents, your mother in particular, has a vested interest in your personal development. And she, filled with the wisdom of God, will speak into your life. You may not like what she says, but you need to take to heart what she does say, because she wants the very best for you. Well, thirdly, merchant ships bring precious cargo from distant lands. In like manner, true mothers transfer the blessings of heaven to the lives around them. Mothers desire that their children be exposed to a wholesome environment. They desire that their children might receive the best that they have, the best that God has to offer. They're concerned about the influences of other children upon their children. They're concerned about the influence of society on their children. They're ever so watchful. A mother was concerned about her son going off to college, and she wrote the following letter to the college president. She was concerned. So she wrote a letter to the president, and it said, "Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college, and soon he will be leaving me, as many of your children will be going off to college in the next few months." She wrote this letter. She says, "And I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language, who tells off-color jokes, who smokes, or who drinks, or who chases after girls. I want to make sure that he has a wholesome roommate. And I hope you understand that I'm appealing to you directly for your oversight and your care, because you see, this is the first time that my son will be away from home, except for his 3 years in the Marine Corps." Every mother has sent her child off to camp or to that first day in school or somewhere else, and you've had those same kind of concerns about how your child might be influenced by others. Mothers desire a wholesome environment for their children. And unfortunately, there are sometimes the only models of godliness that children see in the home are in their mother. One of the great challenges and one of the great disappointments is when mothers must strive for the spiritual development in their home without the help of a spiritual father. You see, father may be in the home and he may be providing all the family needs, all the material things, all the essentials of life. But when it comes to spiritual well-being, he is nowhere to be found. Mama's the one who brings the children to church. Mama's the one who brings them to Bible study and Awana and choir rehearsal and Sunday school. Mama's the one who sits down with them late at night and teaches them to read the Bible stories. Mama's the one who is the anchor in their spiritual development. And when it comes to counsel, wise counsel, some fathers, they just pass it off to mom because their foundation is no deeper than I think or I believe. There's no down, no, there's no nothing that they can draw from. They can't draw from the deep waters of the Word of God, from God's counsel. Yes, some fathers can provide all the physical material blessings, but cannot transfer the spiritual blessings of God to their children. Fathers, we need to do a better job of being involved in the lives of our children. Yeah, it's great to get them involved in football and soccer and basketball and to coach them in all of those kind of things and encourage them in all of those kind of things. But those things will come and go. But the life experience will remain. And they need to make, you need to make sure that they have good and wise counsel on how to live. Some of your children will be going off to college. And colleges are places where they can be so easily led astray. There are professors there who major seemingly in the art of getting particularly Christian children on a path where they begin to question their faith in God. You need to make sure that you root and ground them in the faith and that you are just as watchful for that kind of thing as you are for them to get involved in drugs and all kinds of the other things, because it's just as dangerous. Well, fourthly, merchant ships endure storms at sea. In like manner, true mothers have divine protection when moral and spiritual storms threaten the welfare of their children. They have divine protection when moral and spiritual storms threaten the welfare of their children. There's an old song that says, like a ship tossed and driven, battered by the angry seas, when the storms of life are raging and their fury falls on me, I wonder what I have done to make this race so hard to run. Then I say to myself, take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. I am sure that every mother has or will experience the concern that song expresses. If you haven't yet, you just continue to live. You see, because life has its storms, mothering is filled with trials and tribulations. And sometimes, despite all of our efforts and all of our energies and all of our counsel and all of our watchfulness, our children get into trouble anyway. Sometimes we can do our very best, do everything that we know how to do to make sure that they're on the right road, that they're surrounded by all the right people, that they're reading and seeing and doing the right things. And in spite of all of our efforts, they can go astray. And when that time comes, we wonder, God, what have I done to make this race so hard to run? Then you need to say to yourself, take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. Without a doubt, I believe that God has given a special dispensation to mothers. The express dispensation of grace that helps them to endure hardships, heartache, heartbreak, and pain. That are challenges, from scrapes on the knee to fights they may be involved in to incarceration to death. A mother's heart must endure it all. And sometimes all you can say when you find yourself in those situations Just take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. The Lord is faithful. Amen. He knows your pain. He knows what you're going through. He knows that you've done your best. And sometimes you just have to trust and let go. I was sharing with one of our members the other day, and she was talking to me about the troubles that she was having with her daughter. You know, and kids get to a point where you just have to let go and entrust them to God. Kind of like the prodigal son's father when he asked for his portion of the inheritance. His father gave it to him and allowed him to go his way. He kept looking for him. He kept watching for his return, but he had to let him go. And sometimes we have to let our children go. But yet we keep looking and we keep watching for their return. We keep believing that the Lord will make a way somehow. Well, fifth, merchant ships are active and well-stocked for long journeys. In like manner, true mothers are always on duty to cheer, to comfort, to exhort, to encourage. Mothers are always on duty. Stories told of a 15-year-old boy who came home, and he came bounding in the door, and he found his mother in bed, and he asked if she was sick or something. He was truly concerned. And the mother replied, "Well, son, I really don't feel too well." And the son replied, "Well, Mom, don't worry a bit about dinner. I'll be happy to carry you down to the stove." Mothers are seemingly always on duty. The matter of being a parent is a 24/7, 365 day a year job. There's never a time when one can stop being a parent, particularly being a mother. And no matter the age or stage, there's always a need for you to give advice and to give encouragement and to give help. You know, what is that old saying that when they're young, their children are on your lap, and as they get older, they're on your heart. Mothers are always on duty, always expected to be well stocked with energy, always to know what to do and what to say to somehow make it better. It is a 24/7, 365 day a year job. Mothers, give yourself a hand. See, dads can come home and say, "I'm tired." And kids will just leave and go do something else. But moms are always on duty, always there to make a sandwich, always there to, you know, to heal, to bind up, you know, to make this or to make that, to do this, to take you here, to take you there. Always on duty. Well, who encourages mothers? Who tells mothers when it seems that the bottom is falling out of their box, that everything's going to be okay, that it's going to be all right? Grandmothers, yes, they do. Friends, yes, they do. However, if a mother is not rooted and grounded in the faith, there is no human conversation. There is no human encouragement that will suffice. When a mother has expended herself for everyone else, only God can bring the comfort and the rest that she needs. 1 Peter 5:7 informs us and challenges us to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. As mothers care for others, I want to let you know that God cares for you. Amen. Well, six, merchant ships head for a harbor to unload their cargo. In like manner, true mothers seek to bring those around them into the harbor of safety and security in Christ. The goal of every Christian parent is to bring their precious cargo, their children, to the harbor of safety and security in Christ. Every parent's goal ought to be to raise their children in a way that they grow up to be useful members of society, able to provide for their own needs and able to tend to their own business. If that is not your goal, then you will always find that your children are deeply dependent upon you. If you don't raise them up to be independent, you will always find them knocking on your door saying, lend me, give me, can you spare? If you don't train them up to be independent, to be self-reliant, you will have to pay your rent and theirs too. Pay your cell phone bill and theirs too. Take them here and take them there. Your goal, therefore, ought to be to raise independent children, children who can think independently, who can live independently and love independently. Otherwise, you will never to be able to unload your cargo. Some of our children are not prepared for the high seas of life, particularly the high sea of motherhood. Unfortunately, for many, being a mother means little more than getting a doll for Christmas. We have some mothers, some younger mothers, where a baby is just something to dress up in little designer clothes, show off to their friends, and amuse themselves for a while. And like a doll that has served her purpose, in whom the owner has lost interest, children, like dolls are left on the bedroom floor for the mother to come pick up and put away. Their children are often left to the nurture of their mother, and left alone, their grandmother. Unfortunately, we live in a day when too many children have children but don't want to bear the responsibility of their upbringing. Rather than enjoying the fruits of their labor, we see that many grandparents are having to share and assume the responsibility of being mothers again. Once again, of having to raise a child. They've raised their own child, and now they find themselves as grandparents having to do it all over again. That ought not be the case. A mother, having raised her children, ought to be able to unload her cargo to enjoy her grandchildren without having to also be their mother. Well, finally, merchant ships keep nothing for themselves. What they carry is for others. Their goods are unloaded for the benefit of others. In like manner, true mothers are unselfish and sacrificial, whose lives are spent for the enrichment of others, and who never fail to deliver the best of goods to those around them. If there is any model that I know of for sacrificial giving, it is my mother. As a young man, I always knew that I could depend upon my mother for that extra dollar or two. Amen. When I was getting ready to go to school in the morning and I was thinking about what I was going to eat for lunch, I always knew that that I could go in my mama's purse and find an extra dollar or two. It's not that she made a whole lot of money. My mother did domestic work, but somehow she always seemed to have some money. She was always trying to get us what we needed and what we wanted. And like many children, it never occurred to me the sacrifice that she was making so that we might have the things that we had. But being a parent now, I understand that sometimes for our children to have certain things that we have to deny self, we must put off our wants to supply theirs. Young people, let me inform you of something. If mom or dad is not as fashionable as you think that they ought to be, don't talk about how they dress without looking in your closet and seeing just how well-dressed and how in fashion you are. You see, there's only so much money to go around, and if your needs are being met, chances are that their needs are not entirely being met. Your parents would love to go out every week and be able to buy some new shoes and buy a new dress or to buy a new suit or buy a new this or that, but they have to sacrifice so that you can be blessed, so that you can go to movies, that you can go to concerts, that you can have the money to do some of the things that you want to do. And on days like this, special days like this, you need to let them know how appreciative you are. If you give, young people, if you give your mother nothing else this day, tell them that you understand that they have sacrificed, that you can do what you want to do. Tell them that you know the sacrifice they've made and appreciate them. And your mother, knowing that you as her child cares and understands that she's making a sacrifice for you, will be worth more than anything else that you could buy for her. Knowing that you as a child appreciate the sacrifice that she's made, that's a gift that will keep on giving. Yes, mothers are like ships. God is their pilot. They are guided by God's word. Their children are their precious cargo. They endure many storms in life. They must be well prepared to always cheer and comfort and encourage. They must seek to bring those around them into the harbor and security of a life in Christ Jesus. And mothers' lives are spent for the enrichment of others, and they never fail to deliver the best goods to those around them. Well, I close with this. Every mother has a favorite child. She cannot help it. She's human. There's a child that she feels that special closeness to, with whom she shares a love that no one else could completely understand. I was my mother's favorite child. I do declare myself that. In all seriousness, a lady by the name of Emba Bombeck writes this regarding a mother's favorite child. She says this. She says, "My favorite child is the one who was too sick to eat ice cream at his birthday party. My favorite child is one who had measles at Christmas, who wore leg braces to bed because he was pigeon-toed, who had a fever in the middle of the night, had an asthma attack, and who had to go to the emergency room. My favorite child. My favorite child spent Christmas alone away from the family, was stranded after the game with a gas tank on E, and lost the money for his class ring. My favorite child is the one who messed up on at the piano recital, who misspelled committee in a spelling bee, who ran the wrong way with the football and had his bike stolen when he was careless. My favorite child is the one I punished for lying, grounded for insensitivity to other people's feelings, and who was informed that he was a royal pain to the entire family. My favorite child slammed doors in frustration, cried when she didn't think I saw her, withdrew and said she could not talk to me. My favorite child always needs a haircut, had hair that was hard to comb, had no date for Saturday night, and a car that cost $600 to fix. My favorite child was selfish, immature, bad-tempered, self-centered. He was vulnerable and lonely and unsure of what he was doing in this world, and yet quite wonderful. All mothers have their favorite child. It's always the same one, the one who needs you at that moment, who needs you for whatever reason to cling to shout at, to hurt, to hug, to flatter, to reverse charges to unload on, but mostly just to be there. My favorite child. In those descriptions of a favorite child, we ought to see a lot of ourselves. Each of us has looked like or done some of those things at one time or another. We have had that child that we had to focus on and give our attention, maybe more than the others. But you need to understand that God also has a favorite. God has a favorite child. It's the one who has messed up, the one who is in need, the one who has acknowledged that he cannot live the life that they need to all by themselves. Well, God has favorite children. Mothers, we appreciate you this special day. We appreciate the sacrifices that you have made. We appreciate the extraordinary love that you have displayed. We salute you. Yes. However, mothers, recognize that just like you have a favorite child, that you are the favorite child of God. Don't you care so much in providing the earthly things of this world for your family that you neglect your relationship with God. You are God's precious cargo, and he wants to bring you safely into the harbor and security of a life in Christ. He wants to bring you as his child into the safe harbors of eternity. And the best thing that you can do for your child is to make sure, if the Lord should come today, that you and your family are ready to go. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father, we are thankful today for the earthly representatives, these mothers that you have given to us. Father, you have allowed them to give us birth. You have allowed them, Father, as your representative to raise us up as children, to be men and women, Father, who can stand on our own, who can live our lives in a dignified manner, that they might be glorified, be honored, and that you might be glorified. Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for they're loving us, and we thank you for loving them. Father, we pray right now that someone, be she mother, be he father, be he son, be he daughter, that this day would make a decision to come into the harbor and safe security of a life in Christ. Father, we thank you for your love, your care, your concern. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As our deacons come, as our ministers come, we ask that you